The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's May 12th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Shopify needs incentive alignment to win in enterprise. 3 notables from the big commerce earnings call. Instacart CEO departs for OpenAI. And Shopify reports solid earnings amid global uncertainty. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Shopify needs incentive alignment to win in enterprise. With the dominance of Google with GCP, Amazon with AWS, and Microsoft with Azure, most enterprises, by that I mean companies above $1 billion in enterprise value, are tied to one of these solutions indefinitely. If anything, a 4th player has just been minted with OpenAI, further cementing Microsoft's growth trajectory ahead of AWS. Sure, could Shopify swap places with Salesforce? Yeah, it is possible, and Salesforce is currently 2 times Shopify market cap, although other observers will point out that Shopify probably has more dedicated commerce revenue than Salesforce does. Could Shopify also take out a number of custom enterprise retail installs? Yeah, that's also possible, but in limited ways. Most enterprise architecture contains an alphabet soup of acronyms: ERP, PLM, PIM, POS, OMS, CMS, PDQ. No, not the last one. Did I mention a mobile app? This is just for direct-to-consumer. B2B adds a lot more complexity. But what does Shopify replace in that alphabet soup? Likely just the CMS and the checkout, and obviously it pulls in the App Store. One day Shopify, I think, will compete head-on at the enterprise class of PWS, but that day is not quite today, despite some early successes. The rest of the stack primarily stays in place, even if you are considering a replatform to Shopify. This behavior is also shown in some of their earnings call. The biggest names in Shopify's calls are not actually for Shopify's platform wins, it's for Shop Pay, which plays just fine for Shopify's current business model, which is a percentage of GMV. And frankly, replacing the checkout might be enough for it, given Shopify's economic engine primarily being powered by merchant services. Yet as much as Shopify innovates, they have always seemed focused on one metric above all: conversion. And the challenge? Not all software domains and enterprise goals flow from conversion. Let's take the software which helped brand manufacture new products, Product Lifecycle Management, or PLM. This is a critical part of any brand's journey, particularly at the high end. It handles everything upstream of actually minting that real SKU in your ERP. Would Shopify ever tackle a domain like this? Not likely. But why? Couldn't it do so? Well, of course it could, but it's not really an innovation problem. Instead, the problem is one of incentive. What is Shopify's incentive to innovate here? After all, they always say, if you show me incentives, I'll show you the outcome. And until Shopify innovates on its core business model drivers along a number of new dimensions not tied to GMV, it may not have the impact in enterprise commerce it wants to have. Unless Shopify is actually just using e-commerce to bootstrap itself as a global payments provider, which it seems to be doing with Shop Pay, which, to be clear, is a fine vision. It's just not an expansive enterprise commerce vision. Of course, Shopify will have to pick one of these lanes to innovate towards, including data, advertising, payments, customer engagement, customer service, and supply chain. Shopify, for its part, has repeatedly shown not much interest in advertising. I do predict that data will be the next lane that Shopify tackles. After all, it needs it for its AI future anyway, and would incent partners and brands to bring more data to Shopify, because that would be the new incentive. Our second story: 3 notables from the Big Commerce earnings call. Overall, the BigCommerce Q1 2025 earnings call was sleepy, and I wasn't exactly surprised to see it precisely overlap with Shopify's earnings call. Who would have thought? First, Travis cleaned house in the management team. it wouldn't be a shock to anyone who had read me for the last few years to say a lot of this was overdue. Daniel Lenz, CFO, you survived. Give yourself a cigar, my friend. The team, while experienced, is agency heavy. Is that the right mix for the company? It remains to be seen. I had mentioned in the past I would bet on a product and technology leadership change, and this has come to pass as well. The product needs continued updating and fast. Two features released last quarter worth mentioning? The second point is pipeline building. I mean, there is really no more fake metric in SaaS than pipeline. I'll check in on this next year. All it means is that the team is more aggressive at being in deals. It doesn't mean they will close anymore or that they have a right to win in these deals. Although, you know, law of averages and all. I guess better than a kick in the head to be in more deals, since consistently BigCommerce did not see a lot of deals. I imagine that new sales and partner leadership under Rob Walter and the crew have corrected a lot of obvious layups they missed where customers were in market for a replatform. Still, with Shopify being pushed down from the board and the C-suite, it's tougher sledding for those not carrying a green bag, although not impossible. The number you need to know? Annual recurring revenue increased 3% to $351 million. Anemic comes to mind. Enterprise annual revenue per account increased 9% to $45K. One day we will learn what enterprise means. B2B did get a few mentions and successes. We just need to hear a lot more. Enough for the company to break out the progress. No specific metrics does make one worry. I predict that there's another metric that could potentially be challenged at BigCommerce, and that is net revenue retention, or NRR. The third point from the earnings call is that the company took a few veiled shots at the competition. Did I spot them all? If not direct quotes, these are all pretty close. Quote, we're not going to have a P&L that looks like a fintech. This is from their CFO. That's definitely Shopify. Another quote, in B2C, we're driving focus and discipline on our core target customers, including our strategic focus on businesses outside the traditional fashion, beauty, and apparel verticals traditionally prioritized by legacy platforms. Probably Salesforce and Adobe. I would chuckle to hear them talk about Shopify as a legacy platform, and it doesn't seem like the intent. One last point. Is Feedonomics the planned Trojan horse for BigCommerce? It feels to me that the unstated plan is that Feedonomics is going out on its own or self-service, and this might be the tip of the spear for a lot of new activity to introduce the market to BigCommerce. The channel management market has always been very fierce and fiercely difficult to make profitable. And it's very hard for a full service, in other words, hamsters who fix your feed in the background, to become a true self-service company. So there's a lot to prove here too. Our third story, Instacart CEO departs for OpenAI. The news dropped last week that Instacart CEO and chairman of the board, Fidji Simo, was departing to another company she's on the board of. No, not Shopify, that other one, OpenAI. Fidji Simo will lead product, business, and applications, essentially everything tied to a customer's experience with OpenAI, but also how the AI is packaged and delivered to users. That's quite an expansive role. A few points right off the bat. Whenever I see a CEO leave for a lesser role with another company, you know they must view it as a career-making opportunity. While OpenAI has a lot of troubles and has already made a few big mistakes regarding things like corporate structure and has ongoing challenges with hallucinations and accuracy, they also have a chance to be a generational company if they play their cards right. I'll go out and say this. Fidji Simo earned this move. Instacart has performed well under her leadership the last few years. She has infused AI into Instacart and improved the application, user experience, and service significantly, in addition to expanding selection. Simo may also help with the public face of OpenAI, which could use an overhaul, meaning OpenAI has a Sam Altman problem. This could set up an eventual CEO transition if the company plays its cards right, which you think this wouldn't overhaul their image? I don't think this is likely to happen soon, but you never know. And the board is smart in my mind to bring in another proven public figure. As far as Instacart goes, she leaves it in a good place. One of the things that was notable about Simo's departure announcement is that they signaled a current executive will take over as CEO. There are really only two choices from my mind, the chief business officer, Chris Rogers, and chief product officer, Daniel Danker. Of the two, I would bet on Danker. This executive is most like Fidji Simo from my point of view, having spent time with her on Facebook, which directly overlapped with her time there, and Danker then moved on to head product at Uber Eats. Instacart to me seems like a very product-oriented company and so would likely pass the torch with the least amount of disruption, I'm guessing. Also, being headquartered in San Francisco, there is also a bias towards product and technology-oriented leaders as a rule. Well, sometimes there are exceptions, and we'll see how it shakes out. And our last story. Shopify reports solid earnings amid global uncertainty. Shopify channeled the Ghostbusters themes, which we ain't afraid of no tariffs, in their earnings call. Growth doubled the average e-commerce, solid profitability, and a bullish outlook. A few points from Shopify's earnings that make sense to call out. 27% revenue growth year over year, marking 7 consecutive quarters with greater than 20% GMV growth, 20% MRR growth, which you don't want MRR growth actually going much below this, but better than 3% ARR growth from BigCommerce. Revenue growth accelerating. Free cash flow margin is up to 15% from 12%, although you can see investors wanted more. Gross profit dollars up 22% year over year and operating income up 136%. Offline GMV associated with POS was up 26%. That's good merchant progress. Alo Yoga was a highlight with a recent same-day partnership. Although Alo only has 71 stores, it's still a great reference. In the enterprise front, there are a lot of big Shop Pay off-platform mentions. Also, platform mentions including Vuori, BarkBox, Brilliant Earth. The wins are notable, yet the names are not big enterprises. Toys R Us does get a mention, but it's more nostalgia than impact. In Europe, EU GMV grew 36%. And if there's any metric that points to the failure of other platforms, this is the one I would point to. A US/Canadian-based company should not be able to enter such a complex market where many countries have well-defended competitors. Instead, it looks to me that the competition is the one not prepared for Shopify. Q1 Shop Pay GMV was up 57% year-over-year to $22 billion in GMV, penetration being the highest ever. That's a huge number. Shop App is growing from a smallish base 94% year-over-year. Attention, PayPal and Amazon. You do not want to see this activity. Shop Pay off-platform was also a highlight. Tapestry, Lilly Pulitzer, Birkenstock. Even if you have a custom platform, who wants to keep up with payments? Sidekick usage, gotta mention, is an increasing or doubled monthly active users since the start of the year, and the company recently rebuilt its AI engine. It's good to see a mention of Sidekick here. The company is controlling expenses on its biggest department, including hiring on sales and marketing, R&D, and company overhead. AI is said to be now reflexive use at Shopify, which reflexive was the buzzword bingo of the call. Operating expenses as a percentage of revenue has gone down from 60% in recent years to 40% now. A key point mentioned by the CFO, Shopify is a growth company, and they seem to like where free cash flow is sitting at 15%. On tariffs, this was telling. Less than 1% of GMV is exposed to de minimis ending. Sounds like they expect this to stick. What was not mentioned was that large tariffs themselves and the impact of U.S. merchants importing from China. Reading between the lines, they don't seem to expect this to be permanent. In terms of a Q2 outlook, revenue growth was in the mid-20s, which seems very achievable. Missing in action? B2B didn't get quite as much of a strong mention, but we're still nascent here. I expect you'll hear more over the next 12 months. In terms of competitive mentions, I heard a few more than I normally hear out of Shopify. With Adobe and Salesforce accelerating their e-commerce platform investments, they made a point to say that not only are Shopify's investments greater, but that other companies' commitments and investments are uneven, which is smart to put doubt out there. Overall, a very bullish call. Analysts, of course, want more gross margin growth, but that doesn't concern me too much. And despite my earlier posts and comments, Shopify seems pretty content with its lane, as each part of its lane seems to have a lot of upside. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Lowe's to acquire Artisan Design Group for $1.3 billion. Lowe's has announced it will acquire Artisan Design Group for $1.3 billion and use the cash on hand to pay for the asset. Artisan Design Group specializes in flooring, cabinets, and countertops, requiring additional locations where these items can be viewed and ordered. It also has a national network of 3,200 specialized installers and long-standing relationships with single-family and multifamily home builders. Lowe's, like Home Depot, is betting its future on the pro who needs B2B services to complete the building or finishing of homes. Second, Global Payments to acquire Worldpay for $24 billion and divest the Issuer Solutions Unit. Global Payments has announced its acquisition of Worldpay from FIS and private equity firm GTCR for $24.25 billion. As part of the transaction, Global Payments will sell its Issuer Solutions Unit, which offers card processing and account services to FIS for $13.5 billion. This deal simplifies Global Payments' business model and positions it as a commerce solutions provider for merchants of all sizes. The payment sector is very competitive, and this ensures that Global Payments can offer end-to-end solutions to a combination of both enterprise and clients from Worldpay and continue to service small and mid-sized companies. Third, ABB to spin off world's second biggest robotics business. During its Q1 earnings call, Swiss Automation and Industrial Group ABB announced that it plans to completely spin off its ABB robotics business into a separate publicly listed entity by the second quarter of 2026, with shares in the company distributed to ABB investors as dividends. This will be the biggest shakeup at ABB since it sold its power grid business to Hitachi in 2018, and ABB Robotics does not have synergy with its other businesses. Fourth, building products distributor QXO acquires Beacon Roofing Supply for $11 billion. Building products distributor QXO has announced that it's acquired the remaining shares of Beacon Roofing Supply at $124 per share, valuing the company at $7.7 billion, or $11 billion including debt. At the closure of the transaction, QXO will become the largest publicly traded distributor of roofing, waterproofing, and complementary building products. Is this the beginning of an arms race in the B2B building supply sector? And finally, data integration platform Fivetran buys Census. Data integration platform Fivetran has announced it acquired Census, a reverse extract, transform, and load platform for an undisclosed amount. The strategic importance of this transaction should not get lost. This enables data to move into databases and then out of databases into sales and marketing tools. Fivetran, through this transaction, wants to own the entire journey from source to action. Once the transaction closes, the Census team will join the Fivetran team, and the Census brand will be folded into Fivetran. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisesky, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcast on the Fly. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.